This is MSONewsSports.com, and this is Connections, a chance to meet your North Shore neighbors. News, politics, left, center, right, newsmakers, people, issues, features. Connections on MSO News Sports.
Alrighty then, we are here. I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell, and this is Connections. Bunch of guests lined up this morning, as we always do. A live interview coming up in a few minutes, couple of recorded interviews as well, and let's say hi to Bill Newell. Bill, hello.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I'm wondering why they call it a remote broadcast. Where are you?
Well, I am... Excuse me. I'm at a throat-clearing Beverly Salem Bridge location here on a beautiful Thursday morning.
Okay. I think I lost you after Thursday morning. You still there? Hello, Bill. Hello, Bill. Okay. Well, there you go. He's at a remote location, and right after he's had a beautiful Thursday morning, we lost.
Thin clouds coming in overhead, and as you know, I guess it's supposed to get a little more cloudy as the day goes on today. But anyways, a beautiful day. We just put some photos up from, you know, from out by the Bill and Bob's out in the harbor, all the boats and board out there. Again, just a beautiful day out here today. Just a classic North Shore day. So that's where I'm at right now.
All right. Can you hear me, Bill, at all?
Are you there?
Okay.
Now I hear you now.
Okay.
Now.
It's funny when the thing, so where are you, Bill? Give me a, it really jumbled together really quickly there.
I am not right near the Beverly Salem Bridge.
Okay, okay. Gotcha. So great view from there, and it is a beautiful day. And I was just wondering why it's called a remote location, because it's not remote at all. It's, you know, it's right here on the North Shore.
Well, it's remote from the studios where you're located, Rick.
Well, that's this
why.
Is true. Yeah. Yeah,
it's, and it's, although it's not necessarily remote, if you're, it's not like a remote area, region of the, Northeast Kingdom in Vermont, or up in up north in Moosehead Lake area of Maine, where that is remote up there in a different way, I suppose. But yeah, so I guess there could be some confusion as to a remote location.
I confuse easily. Well, Bill, that's a great location, obviously, to see anything. I was at Brent Rock down in Marshfield on the 3rd of July to watch fireworks, and it has a similar coastline to what you see there from the Salem-Beverly Bridge. And what was amazing down there was we had there were city fireworks, only there were no cities. These fireworks were an amazing display of that locals owned. They're privately owned fireworks, and they went off for an hour and a half, and they were at least within, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 miles of coastline, just hundreds and maybe thousands of fireworks that were, they looked like professional fireworks, but obviously they were owned by you know, by people illegally here in Massachusetts. But it was an amazing event. And 4th of July, 3rd of July around here is pretty special. There are a lot of celebrations. You had a story this morning about a Horribles parade in Beverly, and that parade's caught attention the last few years.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a few things that people are finding a little bit offensive. There's a complete story in today's edition of the Salem News. Some of the things that have been done in the past, some of the, you know, so, you know, maybe it's, I'm not necessarily one of these guys that think things have to be politically correct. I do like the sense that you can lampoon certain things, but I do think there is a time maybe where it sounds like a few of these things were, you know, a little bit questionable, but I, you know, in its day, I think they might have been funny, but, it sounds like it. If you read the story, there are a few things that might be just a little over the top, or a little more difficult to make the connections from this to that, and so on. And so, I guess there's a little attention brewing there in Beverly, and what elected officials are going to do. Right now, elected officials were still showing up at this year's Horribles parade, but there's it sounds like there's pressure being put on them not to show up in the future. So we'll see where that goes. And Mayor Cahill was quoted in the story as really being non-committal on the issue, mm-hmm. As to what would happen in the years to pass. Kind of reminds me of it's not at all similar in a way, but the St. Patrick's Day parade that they had in Boston and so on, and allowing different people to march or not allowing different people to march and so on. So there's a little bit of a tension up there, up in Beverly, right where I'm looking right now.
There you go. You got the view. Well, I know a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago, a few years ago, there was a controversy in Gloucester that didn't have a whole lot to do with Gloucester High School, but Gloucester High School kids were accused of a pregnancy pact, and there were five kids involved, but the number ballooned to 18 from people who came from out of... But anyway, the Beverly Parade highlighted that, and I know my daughter played lacrosse this year. She was a senior at Gloucester High School, and there was a team that came in that shall be nameless, but all the girls on the field doing trash talk, they were all talking to the Gloucester kids about how far along are you, and... do you have morning sickness while they're out in the field? And my daughter just laughed it off, and she said, "Yeah." She told the kids, "Yeah, I'm 9 months pregnant. Can't you tell?" So you know, I guess you got to just sort of slough some things off. Bill, I guess a question I have before we get to our list of guests. Last week, you covered the Salem Open over at the Salem Country Club, and I had never seen a production like that before. I was there for a couple of days. What are your reflections on that? Because I know I was there on Thursday, the first day of competition, and a couple of days before that, and there were a lot of people there on Thursday, and I'm wondering if there were a lot of North Shore visitors on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Yeah, there were more over the weekend for sure, as you might expect, but they handled it very well. I think they could have handled more. I don't know how the final crowd numbers were on that. They did not make any attendance announcements that I saw of, at least through Sunday while I was there. But, I mean, I think they did very well. It's a USGA event, so it's a major event. Even though it is a seniors event, it still packs a lot of prestige, and they do it up the right way. I mean, the amount of, you know, traffic on the course is just astounding when you look at it. We figured that there must be about 300 employees from Fox Television. It was on, televised all 4 days, you know, and culminating with the network broadcast Saturday and Sunday afternoon. The event seemed to run flawlessly. The weather was outstanding for the, you know, and the scores were incredible, you know, so there are different storylines. And again, it was just, and you think of all the, you know, the volunteers and so on. And one of the things, Rick, that I didn't realize till I was talking with Bill Sheehan, the general chairman of the event, who is a member of the Salem Country Club, is that, you know, the entrance that we came in, which is the main entrance. So if you were ever to go to Salem Country Club, like today or tomorrow or go there 3 months ago, you'd walk in through the parking lot, the main parking lot there, where the members would park. And, however, as I was going in, I'm thinking, geez, I thought there'd be more people coming in here, and it would be a little more tricky getting in and out of here if everyone is coming through this whole gate. Well, that's not the case. If you went down Forest Street closer to Route 1, in the middle of the golf course, they had another entrance for the fans, so to speak, or most of the fans, and also a volunteer. They had a big volunteer center out there, out in the middle of the course, which I saw when I walked it on Sunday. But, you know, it's just one of those logistical things that apparently that worked out great and for folks. And at our end, we came in from the other side and didn't see all the people coming in. But the crowds were very good, and they were, as Bill Sheehan said, spread out over the course. And so, like, when it came down to the end, I mean, the crowds weren't devastatingly huge at different spot pockets. But it was you know, obviously a great weekend, and it seemed like Salem Country Club pulled it off very well, as well as the GA.
I didn't know that about the other entrance, because you're right. When I would take the bus in, there was at most there were three or four other people on the bus, so that makes sense. Bill, one thing I just thought of before I let you go, you know, you're at the Beverly-Salem Bridge. How's traffic right now?
Not bad at all.
Okay. One thing I was thinking of is I'm looking for the worst intersection in Massachusetts. And I've got a couple of candidates, and maybe in the future, if you want to do it, you could run over to some of these other places and report from there. And you know, one of them is, I believe it's Road 62 in Danvers that heads back onto 128. Have you ever been on that one? Of course you have. From coming home from Twyfield, going back to 128?
Oh yeah, sure. That's the one, that's been very well publicized mm-hmm. as being a tricky intersection, right? Yeah.
Well, I think maybe one of these days we can assign you to go over there on connections, and you can take a look and see what traffic is like.
Gee, thanks.
I'm looking for the worst intersections in Massachusetts. The other one is Sawyer Road. Don't ever go toward 128 on Sawyer Road at night, coming into that rotary with all the roadside items there. It's unbelievable. Oh, my word. Have you seen that one?
No, I know that one. But they have those roundabouts now, so to speak. We used to call them rotaries. Mm-hmm. But maybe a roundabout, a mini rotary. I think that's what it is. And I don't know. They're springing up a lot of places. Lynn has a brand new roundabout as well, down by where down on 107, which would be Western Avenue, where mm-hmm. the new Market Basket is going in. And but a lot of folks are, it seems to me they handle a lot of traffic and do it pretty well. Now, these roundabouts are a little tighter, so they're not like the free-for-all that you see at in some of the rotaries. Gloucester has a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
There's one in Lynn at the Lynn Hot Beach area there, up the road from the porthole. So, I mean, that's a little bit bigger. But for the most part, they handle a lot of traffic without just yield signs or stop signs or whatever they are. But you kind of wait your turn, and it kind of works out. But I'll hear other sides to that too. You know, if there's another position, just seems like they're not a bad thing to me. But
okay, well, then we can agree that to disagree. I know that the rotaries or roundabouts as they are now, the little ones, you're right, they do remind me of those in Ireland, and they are called roundabouts in Ireland. But the two rotaries in Gloucester are brutal because they're two lanes. They're two lanes wide, and it's just crazy. People are just never sure what to do in there.
There's another one, Rick, down on off of 128, down in the Reading Wakefield area, where 129 crosses 128.
Right. Yep.
And that's one I've done so many times over the years. But I was just there like a week or two ago, and that's all redone. So it's all kind of, and I was not confused, but I had to pay attention as to how to enter it and stay in the lanes. And they do now mark lanes in some of these, and they are actually pretty useful and. They're a little more organized than the old free-for-alls that we're familiar with. So, you got that. Hey, one other thing I just wanted to point out. Check out the North Shore Today post with our local radio newscast every day. We got a bunch of photos up there and some new links. So those folks that, looking for the latest North Shore news, some photos, some other items of interest, some videos. Or whatever, we have it up there on the North Shore Today post. And do check that out here on daily on the website. And another thing, Rick, we should just point out, we just had a great month of June as far as hits on the website. And that's so thanks for all the folks that are checking us out, and do spread the word. Follow us on Twitter or on Facebook. You'll see those links on notes on our pages as well. But it's at MSO News Sports. So
okay.
That's it.
All right. What's the final view from where you are?
Well, if I stay here much longer, I'm going to have to get some sunscreen. No,
okay.
No, it's just very peaceful day today, Rick. It's very calm, and it's a beautiful day here. And we'll put up a little video from by the bridge as well in just a few minutes as well on our Connections post.
All right, sounds great, Bill. We'll talk to you later on. Thanks.
You got it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, Rick.
That is Bill Newell on location, remote, from the Beverly-Salem Bridge. All right, we'll take a break, and we're going to come back with Sergeant Roger Lesh of the Rockport Police Department, who's got some good things to tell you. We'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com. Or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we are back on Connections. Let me just turn the music off here. And joined now by Roger Lesh, and Roger of the Rockport Police Department, a longtime friend of mine. And Roger, I know you retired officially from one position up there in Rockport, but give me a little biography on your experience up there before we talk about some other things.
In regard to what, Rick? I'm still with the Rockport Police Department. I'm still a special with the Rockport Police Department, and I'm a special officer for Elder Affairs.
Okay, I got you. All right, so let's get to it. A lot of things happening in Rockport in the summertime. First of all, Roger, the traffic situation. I mean, people, how'd it go this past weekend, 4th of July? What was your experience?
Well, it was a typical weekend. You know, I'm retired, so I wasn't involved with it too much. But the department was out there in force and taking care of the situation and helping to make it a really enjoyable holiday for the public.
Okay, now I know one of your positions, and you wear many hats. I've seen you in Gloucester from time to time. You're out on the harbor a lot. Are you a harbor master as well?
No, I'm actually a launch operator for the city of Gloucester under the harbor master's office.
Okay, what's a launch operator? What's that?
Well, we pick up people on their moorings. Like people that come in as guests on the transient moorings, and also people that have moorings in within the city of Gloucester.
Oh, I see. Okay. So people would bring their giant yachts in and they'd park them somewhere in the harbor, and then they have this ferry service that the harbor master supplies?
Yeah, also we have all kinds of different vessels that come in, some big yachts and also some, 20, 30, 40 foot vessels, and even some small runabouts that people have moorings, and we pick them up and then take them out to their moorings.
So much for retirement, huh?
Okay. Keeps me busy.
Absolutely. Well, Raj, I know that there's a big event coming up, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend in Rockport, and why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is going to be the Rockport Navy Weekend, which the Rockport Navy Committee is a group of volunteers who have worked to bring the U.S. Navy to Rockport since 2007. The Rockport has quite a history with the U.S. Navy, and early 1900s, Teddy Roosevelt's Great White Fleet anchored off Rockport in two or three summers of that early years of the 1900s. Mm-hmm. And when I was young, Navy ships used to come into the bay and they have boats to bring people out. And I remember the kid going out there and enjoying it. So back in 2007, I thought, well, let's try to get things going again. And we got a group together and began the first year in 2007, and it's thankfully for the not only the committee members, but enthusiastic support and generous financial donations of the residents and visitors of the Rockport.
Okay, so what will this entail? I mean, who's coming in and how long they're going to be here, that kind of thing?
On July 14th, we expect 60 midshipmen, including advisors from the U.S. Naval Academy. They'll be arriving in the bay probably Thursday night or early Friday morning aboard 6 44-foot sloops that belong to the Naval Academy.
Mm.
This will be the largest number of sloops from the Naval Academy that we've had since probably starting to do it in 2010.
Cool.
Thankfully, a lot of host families stepped up over the years. And we use the buddy system that the Navy uses to have two midshipmen in every home.
Did you get enough hosts, Raj? Because I know that you were looking for people a few weeks ago.
Well, we always worry, but some past host families have stepped up, plus some new host families.
Sounds good. Okay, so now I don't want to get into all the activities because you and I are going to sit down during the week and have a face-to-face and get into this a little bit more about goings-on. But it is the weekend of the 14th, and besides these vessels coming in, and you can see them as they sail in and sail out and stuff, there are going to be a lot of other activities. Maybe you could touch on one or two of those to highlight the weekend.
Well, we're actually going to have a couple of sporting events that involve the Navy, plus U.S. Midshipmen, plus U.S. Navy personnel from the USS Constitution and from Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. We have a kickball game on Saturday morning between, we have mixed teams. We have Navy and kids versus Navy and kids, and the kids are 6 to 16 years old. And we have a great kickball game. It's been one of the most popular events of the Rockport Navy weekend.
Sounds great.
We're also going to have a softball game Saturday evening between the U.S. Navy and a team from Rockport. That's always been a fun event, too.
Tremendous.
We'll have a DJ, and we'll have opening ceremonies with the Color Guard and singing the Star-Spangled Banner. So that's always a nice event.
Yeah, obviously, you, You've seen this a few times in the past, Raj. What's a highlight for you? What's one of the things that you look forward to the most?
Well, I think it's a whole combination. I mean, it's a lot of work for the committee, but once things start to fall together, the main thing is we try to get the activities to encourage the, you know, interact with the entire community, from kids to older people. We have a private cookout the first night for the visiting midshipmen and the Navy personnel and the host families. And we also, starting last year, we started to invite World War II and the Korean War vets to participate. And there's quite a nice interaction between the age groups.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, Roger Lesh is our guest. He's a Rockport police officer and elder affairs special officer. And we will talk about elder affairs and other things as we go along. And I see Roger next week on a more detailed interview. But, Roger, the best way to get more information for people online would be?
Well, it's actually our website is www.rocknavcom.org.
All right. And I will connect to that so that we'll have it right up here after the interview. And the other thing, getting to Rockport, it's at the end of 128 North. You've got to be patient. You've got to be patient going through Gloucester, through the rotaries. And then what do you recommend, Raj, for parking? Because, you know, parking is at a minimum, and we should remind people that the meters are going in Rockport all weekend long. But what do you recommend for people who might be coming in from other parts of the North Shore?
Well, there's also the, you know, by boat. They could certainly link up with the Harbor, Rockport Harbor Masters to see if there's any openings. It's sometimes busy, but if people make reservation in advance, it usually works for them. And also there's a shuttle bus that runs from the 127 going into Rockport that runs in every like half an hour, and it's very, very reasonable.
Excellent, excellent. Okay. Okay, Roger, we're going to meet next week for something in more detail, but in the meantime, anything else you want to mention?
No, I appreciate you talking to you this, Rick, and we look forward to the Navy weekend and certainly tourists and residents included to have a great time.
Sounds great, sounds great. Hey, Raj, thanks for tipping me off on this, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks, Rick, very much.
Take care. All right, that is Roger Lesh, who is a Rockport police officer, retired from one active duty, but now a new elder affairs liaison, and obviously very active in the town of Rockport. And I will link to the Rockport Navy weekend that we've been talking about. I'll have a link up there. You can click on that. But it is rocnavcom.org, rocknavcom.org. And there is a full list of activities. Looks like a lot of fun up there in Rockport. And as I said, when you get up there, just be patient. Okay? It takes time to get. Well, traffic is like that everywhere around here, I guess, in the summertime. Whew. Okay. I need to take a break here. Lots of other things coming up this morning here on Connections. We have a couple of interviews lined up. I've got some more information to pass along. We'll be talking with Greg Virga in a little while. Greg is a co-host, of course. No, he's the host of Unfinished Music from his Unfinished Studio, where they play music. So he put the two words together, Unfinished Music. Beachwood Studios, I guess, is what it's called. So we'll talk to Greg about an upcoming event that we're all really excited about here at MSO coming up in late August. And Greg will give you some more information about that. Also check in with Heather Atwood, who's got some great stories this morning. Heather always tells you a story behind a story, and she's got some great stories about recipes and other kinds of stuff. So we'll have that coming up as well as other information. This is, and by the way, again, if you have some information you'd like us to pass along on Connections, just email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to post those messages and to spread the word. Okay, we'll be back. This is MSO News Sports.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Return on Connections with Heather Atwood. We are at the Pleasant Street Tea Company, and we're doing something a little nefarious, maybe. We're going to check out, what are we going to do?
We are going to have our first bite ever of a croissant from the brand new bakery called Sandpiper in Gloucester on Middle Street.
Okay. And we're doing this live, so we're going to take our first taste here. And you just, now croissant, you just eat it. I mean, I've never had one before. You know? It looks like a dinner roll. Is that what it is?
It's so funny. Yes. It's a dinner roll. Looks like a croissant. A dinner roll was based on the shape of a croissant, okay? But it's a buttery pastry. It should have lots of flake, lots and lots of flake. We probably should have jam with it, but we don't. Okay, here I go.
Okay. Now I'm eating mine. And it tastes buttery, right? Okay. So with live radio here, we're crunching and munching.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a great croissant.
Okay, it is. It's great.
I'm going to take a sip of my Pleasant Street tea coffee, which is really delicious.
Okay. I'm choking. So we're having this. Okay.
Now I can say, legitimately, in Gloucester, we have a real croissant bakery. This is the real deal. This is Parisian-style croissants. They're the right size. They're not too small. They're not too large. They have lots and lots of layers. And those layers, Rick, come from the fact that you make a dough with water and flour, right, and yeast, and you roll it out, and then you actually roll out sticks of butter, and you lay that rolled butter on top of the dough, and then you start folding the dough. So you have dough, butter, dough, butter, dough, butter, and that's why it looks as it does. You can't, our radio listeners can't see it, but you see all those layers, right?
Yeah.
So when it rises, the yeast to dough rises, and the butter melts, and there's layer.
Well, you and I are runners, but I imagine this is probably not on the Weight Watchers thing.
Oh, no, it's not. It's definitely not. But it's on the Things to Enjoy in Life list.
Absolutely.
Okay, right?
Yeah. And you are allowed that, most definitely. Very tasty, very good. Okay, and what else do they sell? Is it a bakery or what?
It's a bakery. They have little tables and chairs in there. I did not experience anything else. I'm going to have a bite of one other pastry that I picked up, and this is called a cannelé. Here, I'm going to give you some too, Rick.
Okay.
This is another French pastry. The baker and owner, Susan Clermont, is a trained French pastry chef. She used to have a bakery in Jamaica Plain, Boston, and she and her husband moved up here. Now, this pastry is called a cannelé. It's also a French, has French roots in Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tiny pastry, and it's baked in a mold, and that mold is brushed with beeswax. So you have these pretty flutes on the side of the pastry, and it comes in and out, and there should be like a little honey taste in there. What do you think? Do you like it?
It tasted a little candy-ish to me, but I really can't identify taste. But good. I think I like the croissant better.
I think this is delicious.
Okay.
You're right. It has a sweetness to it. When the purpose of that mold also is to make a sort of caramelized, crunchy outside, and that's what you're tasting. So there's a lot of surface area that meets the mold, so you get all those little, you know, crunchy, caramelized bits. So I think this is delicious. With this black cup of Pleasant Street Tea Coffee, it is really good.
And I do want to mention the host here at Pleasant Street, Allie. Allie is wonderful to us. She lets us come in here and do these interviews. Yep, it's a tremendous clientele. It's a beautiful place to come in and work. They let you work on your laptop. And tremendous luncheon menu and breakfast menu and all kinds of teas and all kinds of coffees. Terrific place. Pleasant Street Tea Company on Pleasant Street. And no, they don't pay us to do that. But they do let us come in to do the interviews. Okay, 4th of July is gone, and to which I say, that's good. Summer is here. And so we've got our top 50 countdown continuing. What else are we looking at?
Well, yes, I have to say, getting back to summer is here, I always feel as if summer actually really starts on the 5th of July. There's kind of all this buildup. We've got Fiesta, and then we have the 4th of July, and everybody is really too busy going to the grocery store and getting their lawn mowed and getting their gardens ready and all that stuff.
And graduation parties,
right. I mean, it's craziness up until now. And finally, you kind of say, oh, my
That's
gosh.
True, yeah.
Now we have basically from here to Labor Day, and we can figure out how often we want to mow our lawn and go to the grocery store, and it's not all that pressure. So anyway, yes, welcome to
I have to do both today, by the way.
I'm not doing either one today.
Okay.
I'm taking the day off.
Okay.
This is my day of rest. So I have we have a lot of stories happening in the other Cape, but they're not posted yet. But our most recent posted story is about the Trident Gallery, which we can almost see from our seat here at Pleasant Street Tea. It's a wonderful story about the gallery owner who takes a long view of art, and he's really investing in this artistic community, in this collecting community. I'm just going to leave it there. It's a beautiful story about the gallery owner and his commitment to art in Gloucester.
And that is posted now on the other Cape.
On the other Cape right now, right. And I will say, his mother is a woman named Kathy Slifer, and she is in her mid-70s, and she's a professional swimmer, and we will have a story up pretty soon about her because she's a really serious swimmer. So it's all in the Slifer family.
Nice. I was just reading a story about Diana Nyad the other day, the Olympic champion.
She's amazing.
And the thing is she's talking about sitting is the new cigarette smoking, and she is all over walking, which surprised me. I figured she'd be a runner, but she's just promoting walking, and so for some of us with knee problems, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, walking, I've always thought that walking was is the second best thing to running.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
of course, on the seashore, where most of us have access to anyway, it's a beautiful place to meditate and just take in the scenery as we go along. Okay, so the other Cape, we'll always link to that as we do. What else?
All right, so I'm going to jump right to our list, the 50 best dishes in the world list. Okay, we are at 23 and 22, and I'm jumping to them because I know you will be very happy about both of them. And Rick Moore is not usually happy about this list.
Okay.
I mean, he patiently listens, and you're entertained, but you don't get hungry, right? I never make you hungry with anything on this list.
The chips were good.
Okay, so number 23 on the world's best dishes, the world's top 50 best dishes, mm-hmm. is lasagna. Right? Okay.
You struck a chord.
All right, good. Now, there's so much to say about
and
lasagna.
It should be high on the list, yes.
Yeah, I know, right? It probably should be even lower.
Yeah, yep.
But I'm surprised it's at 23. So the first thing to say about lasagna is most of us spell it wrong because lasagna is actually many layers of pasta, right?
Mm-hmm.
One piece of pasta is called L-A-Z-A-G-N-A, lasagna.
Okay.
Many of them is spelled L-A-S-A-G-N-E.
Okay.
So we spell it wrong. That's one thing. It's the plural. But
now you can say that, but I have to go to the fort to visit my relatives, so I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. So anyway, let's return to the history of lasagna. It is the oldest pasta in the world, supposedly, and its roots are in ancient Greece, not Italy, but ancient Greece. Mm-hmm. When the Romans conquered Greece in 150 BC. They began to look at what the Greeks were eating, and they found this thing called lagannon. Mm-hmm. And lagannon was a dough that was rolled out and cut into strips. And they began reproducing lagannon, as they do, and it ended up making its way to Naples, eventually, and becoming the Italian lasagna.
How about
that, right?
That is the story behind the story. That's way cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know what lasagna is.
Right. Well, I have one more. No, I have a couple more things to say about lasagna.
Oh, okay.
So it made it to Naples, eventually, but we did not see a tomato in that dish until when, do you think?
Tomato?
A tomato. Christopher Columbus. When did he return with tomatoes?
From
the New World. Okay, yeah. So tomatoes did not arrive in lasagna in Naples until 1492.
Wow.
How about that? And actually, the first official mention of a lasagna with tomatoes in it was 1544.
Okay.
So there's that. Now, there's a very famous character, I'm still going on with lasagna, whose favorite food is lasagna. Do you know who that is?
I'm going to say Johnny Depp, but that's probably not it.
That's a good guess. Garfield the cat. Right? Okay, so lasagna is special for so many reasons, right? Okay, so number 22 on our list is, this is going to make you really happy, chocolate brownie with vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So I had to do some brownie research and figure out where brownies come from. And the first mention ever of a brownie, which is not what we think it is, but it was the first mention of something called a brownie, was in the Sears Roebuck catalog in 1897.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
But it was actually a molasses cookie.
Okay.
And it was named after these little children's characters that were elves that were called brownies.
Right.
And in fact, the Kodak brownie camera was named after the same elves.
Just stay here, man. Stay. This is you're tying it all together. This is like the guy on Connections on PBS. This is amazing.
All right. So 1897 was the first mention of a brownie, but the first thing that was a brownie that was actually a chocolate bar was Fanny Farmer's cookbook in 1906.
Okay.
And the myth is, and no one has ever been able to confirm this, is that where brownies really came from was some woman in Bangor, Maine, was baking a chocolate cake, and she forgot to put in the baking powder. And that is the apocryphal story about brownies.
Let's go with it.
Okay, right? Yeah. That's a good one. But
sure.
Fanny Farmer did put it in her cookbook in 1906.
Everything is connected. That's amazing.
That is
terrific. Okay, so
I have one more.
One more.
Brownies.
Oh,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. You might not go home and make brownies, but there are probably many people in the city of Gloucester or the North Shore who love to make brownies. We all struggle with the dry corners.
I like those.
You do?
I do. But go ahead.
I'm always trying to defeat the dry corners.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't need to listen to this part, but there are some serious tips about getting rid of the dry corners. One is to not use a glass pan. Everybody thinks you should use a glass pan. Don't do that. Use a shiny metal pan. Line it with parchment. Put the batter in there. Bake it so that the toothpick never comes out dry, because then you have overcooked brownies. You want the toothpick to come out with just a few crumbs on it, all right? So you don't want to overcook it. Take the pan out of the oven and instantly put it into a water bath. So dip it into a larger pan that has maybe an inch of water in it, set it in there to cool the outside of the pan right away so it doesn't keep cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Well, that makes sense. But, yeah, I do like that. And I always go for the corners. I do the same thing with lasagna. I go for the corners that are burnt lasagna.
That's really funny.
So there you go, right?
Yeah, we need a restaurant for you that has, like, the burnt corners of lasagna for dinner and the burnt corners of brownies for dessert.
There you go. Okay, well, I hope you had a happy 4th, and let's see, you mentioned anything else with the other cape or food for thought?
I am actually going to put up a post on Food for Thought, probably about the Sandpiper Bakery, just because I want people to, I'll have some nice pictures, I'm going to interview her, and I want that to go up quickly because it's a lovely addition to Gloucester. Yeah.
That's Heather Atwood with the story behind a lot of stuff this morning. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.
Hi, folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Andruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
Okay, we monitor the Massachusetts State Police, and the there is a bulletin out from the state troopers right now. Troopers are responding to a potentially suspicious vehicle at Hanscom Air Force Base. At approximately 9:45, they were notified, Massachusetts State Police were notified of a suspicious truck that had been stopped by base security at Gate 1 at Hanscom Air Force Base. A standard screening of the truck and its cargo revealed indicators of potentially hazardous material. The Massachusetts State Police Bomb Squad has responded. The Air Wing has responded as well. And as a safety precaution, an area around the gate has been evacuated. And Massachusetts State Police are asking that news helicopters stay out of the airspace over Hanscom. And there is one more update on that. The most recent update came in just a minute ago. The vehicle in question is a moving truck. The Fusion Center is assisting in the investigation. The state police have set up a perimeter extending 1,500 feet from the truck in all directions. Traffic is closed from Route 2A to Hanscom Air Force Base while the ongoing situation is investigated further. The Massachusetts State Police continue to ask news helicopters to refrain from flying overhead, yeah, and more information will follow when available and appropriate for release. And if we get anything else before we go off the air, needless to say, we'll pass it right along. So this is Connections on MSO News Sports. Again, if you have any comments, questions, ideas, things you'd like to have us pass along, just shoot us an email at msonewsports@gmail.com. And still to come, we'll be talking with Greg Verga about an upcoming music festival that he will be hosting and promoting in the city of Gloucester. It's a fundraiser. And so we'll have some information on that. Right now, we will take a very quick break, then come back with Greg. This is MSO News Sports, so stay with us. Again, More to come right here.
NewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers. Features on teams and players, exclusive video interviews following the big games, live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com.
All right, back now in Connections, we're joined by Greg Verga, host of Unfinished Music at the
Beachbrook?
Beachbrook. I always want to say Beachwood.
Beachbrook Studios.
Is there Beachwood in Gloucester somewhere?
Spellcheck wants there to be, but no, I don't,
okay.
As far as I know.
All right, so it's Beach?
Beachbrook Studios.
Beachbrook.
Because of Beachbrook Cemetery in the backyard.
Why is it called Beachbrook? I mean, there's no beach there.
No, it's B-E-E, so like a beach tree.
Oh, like a beach tree.
Yeah.
Or John Beach, like the John Beach Society.
That's what it is. The John Beach Society used to meet in the cemetery.
All right. All right, so Greg Verga is here, and Greg, of course, we get together a couple of times a month, and you have lined up. But tell us a little bit about Unfinished Music, first of all, because I just sort of go over there and kind of run the controls. So how'd you get this idea, and what is Unfinished Music?
All right, so Unfinished Music, the name comes from the studio space, which is in my unfinished basement. But the concept, as you know, but we'll tell the others out there, when I used to come here every other week to talk about city government when I was on the city council and school committee. So after I left, because I got voted out of office, we had talked about becoming and to continue talking about city government, and I wasn't really interested in doing that. So you said we should come up with something else. So I said, how about this? So I threw out the idea of a music show. And it's based on, and actually, we had Alan Estes fill in as a guest a few weeks ago on the show. It's based on what he does on KPN-TV, where he has local scene, S-E-E-N, and the difference is ours is a live broadcast. So we have local musicians, singer-songwriters come in, full bands. They play live in studio. We have a chat with them. We'll play their recorded music, you know, promote whatever's going on, if they have a new CD coming out or a performance coming up. And so the first show was last June 14th, and in the first year, the first season, we had 19 guests, and went pretty well. We had everybody from, Chelsea Berry to Alan Estes, and then a list I'm going to go over soon, talking about this upcoming show. We had our first anniversary on June 14th, again, with the same guest from the first year, Dan King. And so it's been going pretty well. We have three more shows in studio lined up between now and just after Labor Day. And I'm looking for guests for October and on. So if anybody out there wants to be a guest or has a suggestion, contact me.
Who are some of the people you have lined up already?
I have Molly Pinto Madigan is due in next week, I guess a week from today.
Oh, well, we're recording this on Wednesday. We're going to play it on Thursday. So it will be the next Wednesday, right?
Next Wednesday, okay. the 14th, I believe. And Molly is a singer-songwriter. She plays around here a lot. And she also has CDs with a full band, so it'll be pretty interesting. And then we have on August 2nd, Fosse Jaw, that's a local band, I'd say in their early 20s. I saw them play recently, and I've heard their music. They're really good. I like them a lot. More of alternative music, like my band is. And then on September 6th, we have Delvis, who's also known as Dennis DeLong, another singer-songwriter who will be in. And I purposely skipped something we have at the end of August because we're going to talk about that specifically.
Yeah. Have you gotten any feedback from any of the artists? I know Dan King has been good to us, and he is lining up this music festival we're going to talk about in a minute. But and he did come back for the anniversary show. But have you heard from anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, just by the... yes, absolutely. After each show, there's the thank yous that the members of the bands or the acts send to me are just amazing. You know, the feedback from them is specifically...
Well, maybe you could send those on to me and we could have, you know, get those out there. But
oh, great.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, they're all
good
over Facebook.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Facebook page, Unfinished Music on Facebook has... We post what's coming up, and then we post the links to the shows. Because if you miss the live show, you know, within 24 hours, typically, you can listen on demand. So we put the links to the MSO station website so they can listen on demand. But you can see the photos from the show, some video clips. We started doing video of the full show at the first season. First show of season two. But the feedback's been pretty good. I mean, I'm pretty happy with it. The interest is growing. You know, it seems like people throughout the city, the music scene, know what the show is. And that's...
Well, we're going to have to find a way to get me that information because I'm not a Facebook person. It's just, my business partner goes crazy with that. But between Facebook, Twitter, and Faceplant and Snap Dinglehauser, I don't know. So, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. And
yeah,
people are responding.
Yeah, the Dinglehauser account's not doing so great.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, so now, you know, we've got our next show coming up on Wednesday. But also something I'm really looking forward to at the end of the month, we are putting together in conjunction with, we're doing it, but to benefit Open Door, Julie Longfontaine has been great, sort of a music festival. So,
right. So the idea came to me, you know, that it would be great to have all of these, you know, invite all of the season one guests to a live performance. They obviously wouldn't fit in my basement, so they had to be somewhere offsite. So, I talked to Dan King, he's in charge of booking over at the Mile Marker on Essex Ave, and, you know, they're very generous for nonprofits, so we are doing this to benefit the Open Door, so we're getting the space under the big tent at the Mile Marker, not the one they have, the smaller tent, which is every weekend you can go see bands, so I'd recommend people do that, but this is the big tent. So we've invited all the season one guests, and as I said, we had 19 guests in the first season. And we have 12 confirmed who are going to come and perform at the show. And actually, there's some doubling up because some of the guests, like for instance, my band is playing and we were a guest, but also our lead singer was a guest as a solo act. So in a sense, mm-hmm. it's an extra guest from last year is playing. So, you know, I'm very happy with the response from the people. They all seem excited about it, these bands. Right now it's... I believe six bands, full bands, and five solo acts. So
okay. Well, why don't you read the press release,
sure.
And then we'll tell everyone how to get tickets.
Okay. So I'll skip right to the chase here with the confirmed acts. And there are still people who are, letting me know that they, if their schedule allows, they're going to be there. So I don't want to name names yet, but as it gets closer, hopefully we'll announce a few more. So here's the list confirmed as of today. John Jerome Band, Satch Karen's Band, Black Sheep Stampede, Inga Berg, Pear Ave, Paul Sasquatch Cohen, Brian King, Stolen Lions, that was Steve Carraway was on the show solo, this is his band, Stolen Lions, Pratik Potter, Alto and Small, and Dan King, of course. So this is going to be on August 27th, that is a Sunday, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Mile Marker 1 75 Essex Ave. And the tickets are only $10 a piece, and, you know, you can't see a dozen bands for $10 anywhere. So, and after the expenses, which aren't going to be that much, all that ticket sale money is going to benefit the Open Door. So I would urge people to buy tickets now because there are only 250 slots available. They can go to Brown Paper Ticket to get to buy online, which is unfinishedmusic.bpt.me. But if you just Google Unfinished Music, you'll find this info pretty easy. So Brown Paper Tickets makes it so much easier to buy and sell tickets. And if it ends up you buy a ticket and you can't make it, you're able to transfer your tickets to somebody else electronically. So it's a really smooth operation.
Oh, you can, so through that?
Through Brown Paper Tickets,
so
right.
You can go to some other event.
Well, you can, if you can't make it, you can give it to somebody else. So
oh,
even
I
though
see.
You don't have a physical ticket, you can transfer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I have been over there at the Mile Marker. It's a great venue, rain or shine,
mm-hmm.
winder or calm. And they will have a cash bar in
cash
there.
Cash bar, right.
There'll be some snacks available for patrons who want to patronize Mile Marker.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And, and one thing to keep in mind that you mentioned rain or shine, my class reunion was there 2 years ago. Or last summer, whatever the heck it was. and it rained like hell. And we really didn't even notice, other than, you know, a little bit of pattering on the plastic roof. But so don't be fearful, because most people don't want to spend money on anything in the summer until they know what the weather's going to be. Don't worry about the weather. You're either going to come and enjoy this in the rain, or come and enjoy this in the sunshine, or sit at home and do nothing.
Well, I'm guessing probably the following weekend, is, if it's not Labor Day weekend, it's the one before it. So this is a great way to maybe send summer out on a big bang. Sounds great.
Yeah, and so I would urge people, go to the Facebook page. All the info's there. There'll be something up on MSO News Sports very shortly about this. Or you can just call me direct. Give you my cell phone number, 508-284-3399. Love to chat with you.
All right, and how do people access Facebook, your site?
Yeah, if you just go to Facebook / Unfinished Music, or just in the search bar, Unfinished Music, they'll find me. So it's going to be, there's going to be some finished music at this event.
Oh, yeah.
Trust me. And I'm looking forward to it. It's a good lineup. These are all really good local bands. And again, the one of the key aspects of our show is it's all original music. So we're not held to the same strict requirements of original music at the mile marker, but the bulk of what you hear will be original music.
There you go. That's Greg Verger of Unfinished Music. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSO News Sports.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
Well, there you go. Kind of a fast hour, and thanks for being with us and hanging in there. As I don't know, we have troubles with our internet connection from time to time, and I actually have a hardwire. I'm not going to say who our service provider is, because I'm using two service providers, and we have a backup with a hotspot, and it keeps cutting out. However, we will have this whole thing on demand live in just a little while, and so go ahead and check it out. We'll have some other links up there as well. So I want to thank my guests this morning for checking in, and don't forget, Connections usually heard here on Thursdays at 11 a.m. most Thursdays. We will be live. Also on Friday from 10 to 11 in the morning, we have Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and Josh has some pretty spectacular guests, and very informative hour always live on Fridays, again, most Fridays. And then North Shore Sports Night will return live next Monday night. Also, check out the website. We have updates every single day. We have North Shore Today, news and sports every single day. That's usually posted by 8:30 in the morning, and, of course, updates all day long. Bill Newell with videos and interviews and photos, and you name it, we got it. It's MSO News Sports, and please spread the word. We would like to continue moving this thing on, and we'll be putting our football schedule together here very soon. We'll be having probably around a dozen live streaming video football games of high school football around the area this fall, along with our usual 20 or 30 other radio broadcasts. So that will be coming out soon. We'll have our football schedule, and we'll be getting that underway. And other events we hope to cover as well with live streaming video. Andrew Nicastro of Streamography doing a spectacular job. If you go back by date, go back to the Fiesta, which was the last week in June, next to last week in June, you'll see the videos posted there of the sporting events that was that took place at the St. Peter's Fiesta in Gloucester. Spectacular video. And, of course, Andrew adding drone coverage from the Greasy Pole events. Really kind of amazing. So, again, that's it for me for today. No further update from Hanscom Air Base. Last we had was that the vehicle in question, a suspicious vehicle, is a moving truck. State police set up a perimeter extending 15 feet from the truck in all directions. And another post from state police said the cargo is potentially hazardous material. So they're checking that out at Hanscom Air Base as we speak. That's it for me and for Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. I'm Rick Moore. Take care.